Check, check, check. Check, check.
Test, 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 test. Good morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that you'd just quiet our fleshly minds this morning. I pray that you would draw us in and help us to focus. Give us grace to understand. Give us grace to know Jesus. Pray for grace to abound in every area this morning, Father. I pray for your word to be alive in us as we read it and hear it. I pray for quick discernment in your spirit, Lord. Lead us into all truth. We need you so much this morning. We thank you for being here with us. Thank you that you left us the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Acts 2. Did Acts 2 part 1 last week, and we'll probably start in like verse 5. If you weren't here last week, this is a famous chapter of the Bible where the Holy Spirit's being poured out after Jesus ascended. And I should probably announce too, I think next week Jordan is going to teach again, and that's something he's going to do as often as he wants probably. I think it's good for him. He really feels called to teach, and we want to give him opportunity. And I think it's good for you guys to hear someone besides me. And we're a lot different in how we, you know, it's just great to have someone with different passions, because I can have my couple things I'm passionate about, and I can find it in just about every section of the Bible. And he's going to have something different. And it'd just be great for him to get a chance to teach and to grow in that. So yeah, he'll probably be next week, and anyone else too. If anyone feels a real leading to teach, just talk to me. And you know, this isn't just my deal by any means, and we're real open to people getting opportunities. We're in Acts 2, and this morning's going to be kind of unique in the fact that I think that this is just going to be something we're divided on, and you know, that's okay. I think. There's really just two big groups of thought on Acts 2, and it makes it kind of tough, you know, because really half of you are going to agree with me on some things, and half of you will disagree, and I'm good with that. Just be discerning, you know, on your own. Test what I'm saying. Look it up in Scripture. You know, just, I can teach what I really think the Holy Spirit's teaching me, but man, I'm not the... Just because I say something, you know, doesn't, it's just test it. And so let's just read, you'll see what I mean. Acts 2, verse 5 says, "Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native tongue?" I'm going to butcher this, but "Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter stood up with the 11, and he lifted his voice and addressed them. And he said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, which is about 9 in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he goes on from there, and he preaches Jesus pretty amazingly. And probably next time I teach, that's probably what we'll talk about. It's just how Peter went on to preach Jesus here. I don't think we're going to get to that today. But what's happening here is they're all sitting. They're commanded to wait on the Holy Spirit, and so that's what they're doing. They're here. They're together. They're working out a couple issues, and they're praying. And all of a sudden, Jesus, God, pours out the Holy Spirit on them, and they all start to speak in tongues, which I'm going to teach this as simple as I can. I'm sure most people probably know, but let's just say the simplest way to explain tongues is just the Holy Spirit through you speaking in a different language. Okay? I don't think it has to be a language on the earth, because it says tongues of men and of angels. I think it could be, it doesn't have to necessarily be a recognizable language. But for whatever reason, we're not going to probably get into the reason, but for whatever reason, God sometimes will allow people to speak in a different language, and they don't even necessarily know what they're saying. Sometimes it's for evangelism. Sometimes it seems to be more of a prayer kind of thing. It's just sometimes it happens right after people are filled with the Spirit and they just start speaking in tongues. And so you're going to see all three of those in the Bible. But what I wanted to talk about, since last week we really talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, I just couldn't, as much as I really wanted to, I think, I couldn't skip past the rest of this without talking about this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? And I couldn't skip over it, because I just feel like, being some kind of teacher, I don't want to just skip the hard topics. I would rather offend some, and, I just want us to see truth. And so that's really what I'm going to teach. I'm not going to teach, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit something or not? So I'm just going to teach, what do we see in Scripture here? I'm going to start off as simple as possible. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you don't know, especially, it goes back, but especially in the last 100 years, it's a teaching that pretty much says you get saved, and when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. I think most people agree on that. And then later on, at some point, down your walk, you're walking with the Lord, and it's just kind of a halfway common teaching that there's a second kind of experience that happens where you ask, or someone prays for you or something, and you ask for this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills you in a unique way. And but they teach it as like a second experience, okay? And I'll show you why. But most of the time, not every time, most of the time that I've heard this taught, they'll teach that, and the evidence of that is that you speak in tongues. So to wrap up, you get saved, we're saved, happy, have the Holy Spirit doing things. Then eventually you get to this place where there's this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and to prove that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues, okay? That's just a teaching. That's not what I'm teaching. That's a teaching. And it's a common teaching in Pentecostal churches. So I just want to look at a couple verses. I want you to see why they think that. I'm going to leave you to decide what you think about that. But if you look down in chapter 2, verse 38, Peter preaches to them, they're cut to the heart. Right before that, they say, okay, what do we do now? We killed Jesus, what do we do? And 38 says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Okay? So, just looking at this verse, how do you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? I see two things. Repent and be baptized, okay? That's it. There's not, and this is going to be tough, because we're going to see a couple of, I'll just have to show you, but okay, just keep that in mind. It says repent and be baptized. It doesn't say necessarily pray for it. It doesn't say lay hands on. I'm not saying those things are wrong, because we're about to see that, okay? But that's what it says. Repent and be baptized, and you have the Holy Spirit. Okay, now help me figure this out. Let's jump over to Acts. Which one do we want to do first? Let's just do 8. It's closest. Acts chapter 8. Probably know this story too. Somewhere around 14 probably. Let's start there. It says, now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, okay, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to kind of a different story, okay? So, right there, what happened? Have these guys already been baptized? And it sounds like they've already repented, right? Knocked out the two requirements. Did they have the Holy Spirit yet? They didn't. Because here, for some reason, Peter and John have to come down and pray for them. And did they lay hands on them in this situation? Yeah, they laid hands on them. And then they received the Holy Spirit. And so, okay, I'm just saying, okay, that seems a little bit contrary. They did the two requirements, but they still had to be prayed for some reason. Okay, let's do one more. Acts 19. See this? Acts 19, probably let's just start at the beginning. Acts 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus, and there he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Stop there. So, they already believed, right? Okay, just keep that in mind. Already believed. And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Okay, so they believed and they were baptized already. Did they have the Holy Spirit? Their answer is, I don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. And Paul said, John's baptism was with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, there's another baptism just to make sure. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, okay, here it is again. Paul comes, he lays hands on them. And the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all, okay? So right here, we have another kind of similar situation. You'll see this. It depends on how you count it. I count it as like about 5 times. Some people count it a little bit different because you can try to separate baptism of the Holy Spirit, filling with the Holy Spirit. Is it the same thing? But let's just say I'm saying 5, okay? I'm throwing this out because it seems like there's some kind of unique thing, because it says, and I quoted a verse in Romans 8 last week, where if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. If you repent and are baptized in Acts 2, you have the Holy Spirit. But then we see two situations here where people have to get prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what this is it's either one of two things. It's either that this is because it's Acts, and it's the beginning of the church, and it's because it's the very beginning of all this stuff happening, and, you know, it's not real common for the Holy Spirit to be there, so he's coming and pouring himself out. It's because it's a beginning kind of thing that it has to be done like this. It's one possibility. Second possibility is that what a Pentecostal teaching is, that there is actually a thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where it's a secondary thing after your salvation. So there's that. Who's heard of this before? Just so I know where we're at. Who's heard this teaching before? Okay. So here's the problem I have in a short amount of time, biblically. Okay. Got two real issues. If you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, got two issues with that. One is that most of the time, like I said, it's preached that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. My first church I went to was a non-denominational church, and the pastor didn't believe in any gifts being happening today. He's a cessationist. He didn't believe that any of these things happened. And my second guy who really discipled me was a full-out Pentecostal evangelist who was the exact opposite, hardcore, you know, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues kind of guy. And so that's why I'm kind of right in the middle. I've had two guys disciple me that are exact opposites. Okay, but so I'm saying here that I see five times where people are baptized in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Only three of those times do people speak in tongues. Okay? I want you to keep that in mind. Three out of five. So for the large part of Pentecostal churches to preach that every time you have to speak in tongues, I really have a problem with that. We kind of made that into, well, it happened here in Acts, 19. It has to happen this way. And we just have such a tendency to do that. I see that it happened here this way. From now on, every single situation has to happen like this. This is human religion and human nature running with things that, that God does, okay? He does these great and awesome things, and we want to turn it and try to, we're just such copycats instead of life givers. You see the difference? We want to make things happen in our own way because we see God did it this way before and we want it to happen again, so we try to get everything right and we try to set up everything. We say, you have to lay hands on and you have to speak in tongues and you have to, and we set up all these you have to's. And see, the thing is that half of us have God in a box saying that God can't or won't do this stuff anymore, and half of us actually have God in a box saying God has to do it this way. Isn't that weird? You know, that no matter what side we're on, we're wanting to put God in a box and keep him in there and make it nice and clean and it has to be like this. And it just doesn't ever happen that way. Every single story, I can't find any comparisons, you know. In the book of Acts, the same result is happening. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is getting preached. People are getting saved. Miracles are happening. The same result is happening over and over and over. But how they got to that, it's different every single time. You know, and so what does that leave us with? Because us humans who need to understand every single thing and want our minds have to be able to grasp, because it's too hard just to trust and it's too hard to have faith. We have to really see it, you know, and that really leaves us with nothing, you know. I love that God did it this way. I love that God did it different every single time. I just want you guys, I felt really passionate about that. That's, you know, I don't know how we got from Acts 2 to this, but that's, I felt really passionate about that simple thing about keeping God outside of our boxes, no matter what side we're on. And you see, what I did was I used to be like, I came out of the cessational deal that God doesn't do any of that, and went over to the other side, and my judgment was like, you guys have God in a box. You guys, you know, and you start to judge what you think people don't understand, and the whole time, I'm doing the same thing on the other side. I'm trying to make God fit into who I want him to be. So, I have nothing to submit to you. I guess I have a lot more to say than that, but let's cut this down. I don't have anything else to say to you other than the same thing I probably say every single week, okay? Faith, obedience, and everything else, I don't know what to tell you most of the time. I don't even know what to tell you this morning. Is there a baptism of the Holy Spirit, or is it just them being filled, you know? I don't know what to tell you, you know, how necessarily, how do you get, see, like I have a friend, okay, let me give you a couple of examples why this is so weird, why it can get so weird. I have a friend who went to a Pentecostal church, and he's under 10 years old, okay, and what they did in the children's Sunday school was they really believed that there's this baptism of the Holy Spirit with the speaking of tongues, which is fine, okay, it's okay, but they pushed it so hard that what they were doing, this is a local church, I mean, what they're doing is they're taking these kids under 10 into Sunday school, who even knows if they're saved or understand Jesus or really get repentance or the cross or simple things, and they're taking them in there and they're teaching them how to speak in tongues by moving their mouth, okay, and getting, that's what they teach, get your mouth moving. And while we're praying for you with our hands on you, and eventually you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what they ended up with was a classroom full of young kids babbling their mouths and telling them that that's them being filled with the Holy Spirit and letting chaos happen. And it messed my friend up. I mean, he was messed up for 10 years of his Christian walk because he knew, just like everyone should know, that was just chaos, you know. And he knew, and that was the church he grew up in, and so it just messed him up spiritually. And it's all from putting these things in a box and taking it to extremes, because that's what humans do. Here's one more example. When I moved to this church, this was probably 8 years ago, okay? I was coming to this church, and I was listening to Sam. I was actually rebuked by an older brother in my life for coming to this church, because I was going to a church where the pastor didn't outwardly preach this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, and I was rebuked because they said that preacher does not have any power to speak or teach because he's not baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what did they do there? This is super common. This isn't like this one guy. This is really common actually. You make a second class. You make two classes of Christian. You have the guys that are just barely making it, that don't really get the Holy Spirit, and then you have the guys that are baptized in the Holy Spirit and they're way up here, and they're the only ones who can talk or speak or preach or, you know, and you don't have anything if you don't have that. I've been told that several times, actually. I could go into all kinds of stories I shouldn't even get into. But I've heard that kind of stuff so many times. Don't go there. Don't listen to this guy. That guy's worthless. Don't marry. Don't, you know, all this stuff. It's like there's all of a sudden two classes of Christians, you know. You see what pride does? You see what insecure people finding out something that they think they know, you know, and trying to run with it and finding identity in something other than Jesus, even if it's a great thing like being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see what happens when your identity is not in Christ and everything. That's what I want every single lesson to get to here, okay? You're not going to learn a ton from me that you don't already know, but I'm going to every week hopefully remind you, you've got to get back to Jesus. Learn this and get back to Jesus, okay? Learn this and see Jesus in it, or else you're going to run with crazy things and find your identity in them and love these teachings or love all this other stuff more than Jesus. There's not 10 steps to receive a miracle, okay? There's not 10 steps to speak in tongues, and there's not 10 steps to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's just the same thing we get back to every week. Jesus and the obedience to him that comes from faith, okay? It's just, Jesus is everything. I trust him, and because I trust him, I'm going to be obedient, because I trust that him telling me to do something is better than what I think, hopefully eventually, and just, there's that, and that, if I could just focus on that thing, I would be a winning Christian, but instead, I've got to get away from that, and try to get to, okay, how do I get this, how do I get this, how do I get this out of God? Obedience that comes from faith, that's what matters, okay? Obedience that's a result of trusting Jesus. Because that's when you get stories like this in the book of Acts, is when these guys are going and they didn't have a game plan before. They didn't have, God didn't say, okay, in 10 days this is going to happen. In 2 years this is going to happen. You're going to come across this guy named Saul. You're going to, you know, he doesn't say that. He says, follow me, okay? And these guys follow. And he's like, okay, I'll give you the Holy Spirit because you're following, and he's actually going to guide you. And on the way, I mean, they didn't know this stuff was about to happen. I mean, even when the Gentiles the Holy Spirit gets poured out on the Gentiles. You remember what happened? They went back and they talked about it, and they went silent because they were in awe. That's what it says. They're like, wow, okay. I thought this was just for the Jews. The Gentiles are receiving the Holy Spirit. God's actually granted Gentiles repentance. That surprised them, okay? Because it was them just going along the way as the Holy Spirit was leading them, chapter by chapter by chapter, day by day by day, and they get, and all of a sudden God's just pouring out of Spirit and doing crazy things, and as they go, they're amazed, but I don't think they were ever once trying to figure out how to make these things happen. They were just going, and they understood that. So, I'm out of time. That was I did, because I was discipled different ways. I did believe that the Holy Spirit, there was a such thing as baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And if you believe anything, you know, that I've kind of dogged on a little bit, don't, just take it, pray about it, and come talk to me, and I'd really like to hear what you all think, actually. I really want to learn and hear, and you guys know just as much as me. I just want to stay biblical, you know, stay biblical. 3 out of 5 times is all they speak in tongues, and I want to say that. I don't want to say every time you have to speak in tongues, I want to say actually it's 3 out of 5. Let's not put God in a box, you know, let's just follow God, and let's talk about it together as we're both following God, and maybe, you know, we can encourage each other in it, but let's not do all this other crazy stuff. Thanks for listening to my lesson. In Jesus' name, I pray for each of us. I pray that you refine our beliefs and thoughts about you, and that it just be for your glory. And I pray that all this stuff, being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and miracles and all this stuff, Jesus, I pray that they wouldn't be ends in themselves, but they would all be used and for the purpose of glorifying your name and making your Son known. And I pray that you'd give us grace to keep your Son's glory in the focus of all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.